It's time for Roast Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We're the only show on the airwaves dedicated to growing roses. We're glad you've joined us today. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you during today's show. The number to call is 347-677-1870, or send us a tweet using the Rose Chat hashtag on Twitter. Join us as we explore the world of roses.
We're so glad you've joined us for another edition of Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chris Van Cleve. National Rose Month continues, and my co-host, Teresa Byington, and I hope that you're celebrating by sharing roses with the world around you. Teresa, I know you just participated in your very first rose show this weekend. Can you tell us how it went?
Oh, man, it was a ton of fun. Our Rose Society has some amazing talent. John Hefner is one of the most decorated rosarians in the U.S., and he brought buckets of amazing roses. To those, and I thought any one of them could have been queen as far as I was concerned. And he actually did win Queen of Show with Moonstone. We have Mark and Kathy Nolan and many others, and they just bought amazing roses. It was fun for me just to watch them, how they work. They've done this so many times, watch them groom the roses for the show. So I didn't take a lot of roses. I did take about 12, but some of them didn't make the cut. And I was entering in the novice section. But I did a few, and I came away with 4 blue ribbons, and my Black Forest won Best Overall Novice, so I was uber excited and proud. It was just so fun. And I thought, you know, they're just going to pass my roses by. When I just saw all these other amazing roses, you know how it is. You know, you get all, you know, crazy about it, but it was fun.
Yeah. Now, the Black Forest, that's part of the Simply Brilliant collection. We had Tyler Francis on back earlier this year, but maybe back in the fall to talk about that collection. And I've got a couple of shrubs of those. Those are beautiful.
Well, it is an amazing rose. It blooms, and the blooms look beautiful for a very, very long time. And it blooms in sprays and bunches. So it's just really an attractive, very healthy rose. I don't see one bit of disease. I have several of them. I don't see any disease at all. And that was one that got some attention, I could tell, and that was the Best Novice award for me. But my husband and I were talking later, and we kept a few blooms. We just kind of forgot about them, set them in the garage. And a week later, they were still beautiful. They were still in water, but, you know, we hadn't even paid any attention to them at all. But it is a very beautiful rose. Another thing our group did is we had 2 classes for the public to vote on, and tons of people came, and we let them vote on the most fragrant rose. And then for the first time, we'd had a photography category, and so lots of our members had brought in pictures that they had taken of their roses or gardens and that kind of thing. So we let the public vote on that, so that was kind of fun.
Wow, sounds great. Sounds like y'all had a great time. Rose shows are so much fun.
Yep, it is. And I learned a ton, but I think that everyone who comes to the Rose Show learns. If you've got a question about roses, there were just little bees buzzing all around and answering questions, and people were, you know, fascinated to see the roses, but, you know, most people came with questions, and so that was really a great time to teach others, and I totally enjoyed the experience. Well, if you've been following along on Facebook, then you know that Rose Chat Radio and Troy Built team up this to offer one of the lucky Facebook followers an opportunity to own a Troy Built trimmer and a Jumpstart starter just for liking and sharing our page with others. We'll announce the winner a little bit later in the broadcast. And if you're not already one of our followers on Facebook, check us out at facebook.com/rosechatradio. Excuse me. Last week, Chris, you posted a picture on Instagram of an ugly bug. Did anyone guess what it was?
Oh, yeah. Immediately, several people chimed in and said, oh, my gosh, you already have Japanese beetles.
Yeah, I was one of those because we don't get them till a little bit later. These pesky creatures, they arrive in our garden about the same time as fireworks are going off to celebrate the 4th of July, but I can tell you no one is celebrating the arrival of the Japanese beetles. But help is on the way. To give us some tips and info on these horrible bugs, our friend David Strickland of Witherspoon Rose Culture joins us this morning to offer some tips for managing these and other pests in your garden. Hey, welcome to Rose Chat, David.
Hello, it's good to talk with you guys. Good to be here.
Well, so good to have you back. And I want to remind our listeners, if you have questions for David on bugs in the garden, give us a call at 347-677-1870. Or send us an email at grow@rosechat.info, or you can tweet your question to us by using the RoseChat hashtag in your tweet. Well, David, let's get started by answering the question, what in the world are Japanese beetles anyway?
Well, they are. They are an insect that is definitely a big problem in most rose gardens. They tend to, like all insects, be attracted to color, white and yellow first, and they're a beetle-type insect that tends to munch on the buds, the blooms, anything that they can get their hands on or get their mouth on that they find it tasty. And it's not just roses, though. A lot, everything. Some people try to, doom the rose on being the problem child, but it's crepe myrtles. It's a lot of different things that they tend to eat on. But, roses this time of year, that can be a problem. They complete their life cycle. You also see them in the ground in fall and, springtime. In the wintertime, you'll see the little white grubs in the ground as you're digging. That's Japanese beetle larvae. So that's, the different ways you see them when they're flying around and, again, in the ground in the larvae stage.
Did they really come from Japan, or where did they come from? Do you know about that?
I do not know their exact origin. I don't know. I mean, you hear people do different things and different types of them, and different cousins. Some people call them June bugs, and they're the bigger ones. You hear people call Japanese beetles. They're the smaller ones. I do not know their exact origin. I think my pure distaste for them has never wanted me down that road of wanting to know more about them. I just want to know how to eliminate them and keep them off my roses. That's where all my attention has always been put.
We don't want to give any particular country the distinction.
As always, I think it's something that somebody came up with a name to make it sound worse than it really was, and I'm sure probably going back in way back in history, the fact that it was Japanese beetles made it sound worse, nowadays probably not so much.
Well, I didn't know that we had them, I thought it was something relatively new, but when you mentioned June bug, I definitely remember hearing about that as a child, so that probably was the same thing. They've just gotten more prevalent. Well,
go ahead.
I was just wondering about the damage. Is the damage that they do, tell us a little bit about that, and is it long-term? Will they kill our roses?
Not really, but the damage they cause can affect the garden's growth for the year. Some roses will let the garden go. They don't do a lot to it, but depending on where they're at, especially in areas where the type of grass does matter. If you're in, say, a fescue prominent area, you're definitely going to have more Japanese beetle problems than if you're in a warm season grass or Bermuda, centipede, zoysia area where warm season grasses are more prominent. You definitely will see them less. And that goes back to them completing their life cycle going, because they have to bury down the ground and come back through. So a grass that has a tighter root system that eliminates that or makes that harder will help as well. But the damage that they cause can be twofold. It can be in the ground because they tend to be in the ground and you have moles trying to eat them, so they can tear up your yard that way or be a part of the problem that's tearing your yard apart. People talk about having grub problems and mold problems in the yard. So that's one damage. When you get into the rose garden, they definitely will hatch out. And when they're in their adult stage is when they cause the damage to the roses themselves. They actually will, do eat on them, eat the blooms, eat the foliage. And in doing that, depending on how much foliage they take off, they can definitely affect how the plant's going to grow and bloom the rest of the year, even though they're only present, where I'm at, that's usually this time of year till probably mid-July, or early June to mid-July is usually when you start seeing them. It's usually a six-week period depending on the temperature. And you kind of look for them to be flying is when they're younger eating, then you start seeing them mating, and then you know that it's getting to the end. And if you can eliminate some of that damage, it definitely is better for the rose garden.
I think through the years we've tried just about everything, even if it didn't sound right. It sort of falls under desperate times calling for desperate measures. And I've thought even if a snake oil salesman showed up in July with a miracle cure, I might be tempted to try it. but because it's just such a problem here. But well, so give us tips. How can we manage them in the garden?
Well, to me, first thing is and foremost, and this comes from just everything, you need to eliminate their possibility for damage. And we always talk about keeping our gardens green as we possibly can this time of year. You know, you want to keep all the color. As I said, like all insects, they're going to be attracted to the whites and yellows first. If you ever see the bags they sell for them, they're white and yellow. They're white and yellow for a reason, because all insects are attracted to white and yellow. So you want to keep the garden as green as you can. As soon as your sepals are falling below the bloom, or a lot of times as soon as they barely open up, you see, you know, we encourage our customers and clients to be removing the blooms from the garden so that they don't have as much chance for damage. The other thing you see, I mean, it usually gets in some kind of insecticidal control. The oldest tried and true method and seems to be works kind of easiest for most people because it's easily readable is 7, some type of powder 7, dusty with 7 that's been around forever. Goes back there, that's what my grandma and granddad did, maybe great-great-grandma. I mean, it goes back for a long time. You know, but the problem with that is that you tend to have, you know, dust in all of your plants, so it can be unsightly. Some people go to more liquid-type spraying, like a Liquid 7 or a Merit, Tempo, or some other products that are used. The real problem with all these products is that their effectiveness is only usually 24 to 48 hours. You know, Merit and Tempo will go longer than 7, but if you're using most forms of Liquid 7, they're only going to be effective for maybe 48, 72 hours. So that's when most people tend to come dusting between sprays. So they can be challenging, but you can do some things. You know, just walking out, pulling them off, and putting them in a jar like my grandma did, you know, at turpentine.
We've tried that too. The last few years, I've heard a lot about a more organic approach with the milky spore. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Milky spore, what you're doing there is you're eliminating the grub form, which you're using the product that's going to go down and you put across the ground. It's going to help to eliminate the spore, the larvae stage of the grubs, which are the beetles. And then doing that, hopefully the numbers are less when they come back and hatch out. The only issue with that, or the flaw in it, is that unless you get all your neighbors and everybody around you to do it, it's not as effective as what I've, you know, is what you would think you would. I mean, you can't go out and put milky spore down a couple times a year, every year or so, and think you're not going to have Japanese beetles. These things fly until milky spore goes up 1,000 feet in the air. It's not going to completely eliminate. But it definitely can help. You know, just like having certain types of grass can help. But I know in certain areas, if you're in a cooler climate, you can't have zoysia grass. But if you're in a warmer area where you can have zoysia grass, I definitely want to encourage you to have zoysia grass, because you'll see your Japanese beetle problem definitely go down. We North Carolina is a great place to see it. We have a nice, most people know our climate and how it works across the entire map. We have a coastal region, which is very warm, which, you know, then we go into a Piedmont, which is going to a cooler area. You see a lot of fescue grass, and then you get towards the mountains. You know, the mountains we see less because of just harsher temperatures. Down at the beach, we see less because of the type of grass it is. But right in the middle of the state where the fescue is the worst, that's where we see the bulk of our damage in our state.
You mentioned picking them off, and when you have a lot of roses, it is time-consuming, and sometimes you just get fed up with them, and you're tempted to squish them. Should we do that?
Yes, definitely. I think, to me, the best controls are keeping blooms cut and picking them off and, you know, squishing them, throw them in a jar. Some people don't want to squish, but, yeah, toss them in a jar. You know, that to me is, if you're going to spend time in your rose garden this time of year, those are two things you need to be doing. Because as I said, no matter what you do as far as spraying, you will not control these things. That there's not a product out there. And what we've learned, and we've totally gone from using any type of 7, we don't use any kind of kill-all pesticide anymore, because we used to run 80% 7 in our gardens, and, as harsh as you could get of a product. What we found was that although we controlled Japanese beetles pretty good, right after that, we'd had all kinds of outbreaks of thrips and spider mites, because we were killing all our beneficials as well. So you really have to manage beneficial insects and control these Japanese beetles. So using biological controls like picking them off and tossing them in a jar, crushing them, using weaker products like Merit and Tempo and setting off soap that you can. I mean, even orthine is labeled for Japanese beetles, but you have to use it in a higher rate. Bifenthrin, like some of those other insects can be used as well, but, you know, taking them off, keeping those cut, to me, are a must for a rosarium this time of year.
You mentioned that we don't want to kill off our beneficials. What are some ways that we can attract these beneficial insects to our gardens?
Well, I mean, definitely there's other plants you can definitely bring in around the roses that will help as well. But, yeah, also it really helps to, you know, not be pushing them away, you know. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, they're present, so you just don't want to eliminate them. And if you do eliminate them, then definitely you want to have plants that hopefully will help bring them back to you. There are definitely plants that are good for hosting good beneficials, and you know, I would just encourage you to go online and read what works for your area and what might be good beneficial. You may not put it right beside the rose, but you may not put it in a neighboring garden. You know, but you also can buy beneficial insects. You know, some people do that and put them out. We do that. I can't tell you. We have freezers in all our locations. We're bringing predatory mites through. We put ladybugs out, lace wings, predatory mites for spider mites. That's a big part of our IPM that we use in our garden.
What did you mention for spider mites? I think I have those this year.
Yeah, predatory mites are big. I mean, if you don't, you know, there are miticides you can use, but miticides are, you know, they're very expensive. They're harder for, you know, homeowners to buy. They're not, you don't walk into a big box store like the Lowe's or Home Depot or Menards or Rose, you know, garden centers that usually don't care, and they're very expensive. And their effectiveness is usually not as good as you would think. So because the life cycle of a spider mite is so short, you're spraying like every week or so, 15 days, something 10 days maybe best, and every 6 days they're hatching another generation. So.
You see the Japanese beetle traps everywhere. Lots of people do use them. What do you think about them?
I don't mind them, but if you know, I don't have one in my yard. I'm at a half acre lot. And I actually moved my rose garden one time because I had a neighbor that kept putting one out, wouldn't listen to me. If I was going to have it, I would say I need about a half a mile away from my rose garden, then I'm okay with it. But not anywhere near my rose.
Well, we haven't had them for several years, and we did put them out away, and I can tell you there was reward in just looking in the bag and seeing all the dead. That was my greatest reward. I didn't feel good about it. I kept thinking, are we attracting more than we normally would have had? But I tell you, peeping down in that bag just had its own kind of reward.
And definitely, I think that can be a great thing. I think, but they need to be, you might want to experiment how far away to keep it from the rose garden. But usually what happens is the closer you bring it to the rose garden, they tend to want to damage your rose garden before they get in the bag. And this, you know, I won't go into why, but you can do some research on this, why they want to go in the bag.
Well, they are just hateful. We've noticed a little bit of a change in the last couple of years. I mean, maybe 3 years ago, our roses were just black with them. It seemed like overnight. But we did have 2 years of drought, and it seemed like Japanese beetles did diminish somewhat. Could it have been contributed to the drought since it's how they lay in the ground?
Yes, definitely. That's what you always hope for is a rosaria, and you start thinking of Japanese beetles, and you know, you don't want to hope for this or be glad in. You see things that happen crazy with the weather. Sometimes you're cringing at the idea, but sometimes you also have to be happy. You know, like late cold snaps, we worry about it for our blooms and our buds, but we also know that's not a bad thing for insects. You know, if you can get them already hatched out or get them higher, get the grubs up higher in the ground, you definitely see that them, you know, the numbers later on be less because they were frozen or killed by a cold snap. So it can be a great thing. Yes, drought conditions, having drier soil, you know, more compacted soil, but they can't burrow down through and then burrow back up. It's hard for them to complete that life cycle. Are good things. It's the same thing the Milky Spore is doing. So you're just preventing that life cycle. So anything you can do like that, or anything that happens naturally like that, can definitely be a good thing. And then again, but it also may have an adverse effect in another way. You know, you'd have to be watering your roses more because you're in a drought, or you know, you may have smaller blooms because it's hot and dry. You know.
Last week when I was at the Rose Show, someone mentioned that they had read that they're, at least in rumor stage, that starlings were beginning to take a liking to Japanese beetles. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that. That would be a great thing. I have not heard that, but that would be awesome.
Well, honestly, I thought, well, if the starlings can take care of Japanese beetles for us, it would surely elevate. You know, they don't have the best reputation with rose gardeners or bird watchers, but it surely could elevate them in the bird world if they could help us with these destructive bugs for sure. Well, David,
yep.
It's been great to have you today, and
yep.
I feel better even to have some hand-holding going on when I'm dealing with these bugs. So thanks for giving us some tips and controlling and maintaining our gardens through this ugly season of Japanese beetles.
Yep, thank you so much for having me on.
Be sure to visit David and the fine folks at Witherspoon Rose Culture online at witherspoon.org. And we'll be right back with Barbara Rausch from Troy Belt. She's going to talk about tillers and trimmers and that new super cool Jumpstart starter. So don't go away. There's more Rose Chat Radio coming your way.
Hi, this is Jackie DeLia with Southern Post Journal, and today I want to talk to you about manure compost tea. This is Authentic Haven brand from California. One of the things that I really like about this is how easy it is to apply. It's a simple cotton bag filled with composted manure. You drop it in your bucket, typically a 1 to 5 gallon bucket of water. Drop in your tea bag. You'll notice some of the brown liquids coming out, and that's the manure starting to mix with the water. Once that's finished, 1 to 3 days, you'll have some fantastic manure tea ready for putting on your plants. So I've got my manure tea brewing for about 3 days, and I'm going to take a peek in there and see what it looks like. It's got a great color, it's got a great smell, and it's ready to be applied to my garden. So whether you choose to put it in your watering can and a sprayer, or just take a bucket and drench it into your vegetable garden, it's very easy to use. I use it in my garden, and I highly recommend it. So give it a try.
Find Haven Brown online at manuretea.com. Joining us now is Barbara Rausch from Troy Belt Products, and she's here today to tell us all about some great products that Troy Belt offers for home gardeners. Welcome to Rose Chat, Barbara. Good morning, Barbara. Are you with us?
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, we're so glad that you're here today. It's great to hear your voice again. We met back in May over at P. Allen Smith in Arkansas.
We did.
And,
we did.
It was a great day to get to try out all the great products from Troy Belt.
Oh, it was, and that was a beautiful farm that we were at too, wasn't it? The gardens there were amazing.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And, you know, I love following now all of the pictures because everything had just been planted, the vegetable garden. And, you know, he's starting to see blooms and squash and tomatoes and all sorts of things now.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And, well, you know, Troy Belt, you know, we really introduced the first rototillers in America back in 1937, which dramatically made gardening easier for people. You know, and, you know, and since then we've continued to grow and innovate on those products to help make them work easier, lighter to use, and help you get a more productive garden and healthier plants along the way.
Oh, yeah. You know, growing up, my dad had a Troy Belt tiller that, you know, he just swore by. He wouldn't use any other product but a Troy Belt, and we had a big vegetable garden every year, and, you know, my love of gardening came out of springs and summers working with him behind that tiller in the garden. And I tell you, they last.
Yeah, we'd like to say that's the tiller that grew generations of lawn and garden lovers. to this day,
yeah.
We'll still have people, they remember getting the catalog in the mail. That was the only way you could buy a Troy Belt tiller back in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s. And people recall that, and, you know, make them a little easier to get now than having to mail order. But that was a big memory for a lot of people about the Troy Belt brand.
Oh, sure, sure. We had a question via email this morning from Jack in Nebraska, and he wanted to know what the difference between a cultivator and a tiller was, and which one would how do you know which one to pick for your garden?
Oh, that's a great question, because and a lot of people get confused with that. It's really about size, the size of space that you're wanting to cultivate. Cultivators are much smaller and lightweight. They work really best in smaller established beds where the soil's already been worked a little bit. They are great for weeding around, like if you have, you want to get under shrubs or between rows. Tillers, on the other hand, are much larger machines. They are great for breaking new ground, large vegetable gardens, you know, a quarter acre, a half acre, I don't, however motivated you are to continue tilling, but tillers are much bigger, they're much more powerful. Our tillers run from anywhere from 14 inches up to 18 inches in tilling width, whereas cultivators, the average width is about 6 to 12 inches. You can adjust.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I had an opportunity, Teresa and I both had an opportunity to try out these cultivators and tillers, and I'll tell you, I was surprised that how lightweight they were and how actually easy it was to use one.
Yeah, the cultivators especially, you can, you know, virtually the handles fold down. You can put it in the trunk of your car if you want to and you know, take it elsewhere. They're four-cycle gas now, so you don't have to keep a separate can of mixed oil and, you know, gas mixture, just regular four-cycle gas like you use with your mowers and tractors and other outdoor power equipment. But they're very powerful as well, though. The little cultivator, I know we use it at our house, and it's amazing what it'll, you know, get up into the weeds and long grass that you kind of want to get out of the side of a bed, and no tangles or anything happen.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, they were just incredibly easy to use. And you know, I thought, you know, we do a lot of community-type gardening around here, and just to be able to fold that thing up and put it in your car, the back of your truck, and just take it with you, you know, it makes it very, very easy to use. I wanted to ask you about another add-on feature that makes it super easy to use these Troy-Bilt products, and that's called the Jump Start. You know, I always as someone who needs to have rotator cuff surgery, I can tell you that pulling that cord to get your tiller, your mower, your trimmer to start is sometimes a problem. Can you tell us a little bit about this Jump Start?
It is. Jump Start is the newest technology that we have on a number of our string trimmers, edgers, the cultivator as well. It's a little engine starter. There's three versions available. You can get a corded version, which plugs into the wall, and then you put the adapter into the product and push a button. Or the really neat one is the lithium ion battery, which I believe is the one that you tested when we saw each other in May. And that's a battery, so you can charge it like you would charge your cell phone or anything else. So it's portable, and it's about the size of a flashlight, I would say, sort of a large flashlight. And there's a little chuck on the end of it that fits into a port on the back of the engine, and you simply connect the two, push the button, the engine starts, you remove it, and off you go. And there is no pulling the rope. It's simple. Anyone can do it. And we've, you know, seen a lot of positive things online from customers who have purchased it. The third option is a little drill bit option. So you can actually use an electric drill. And that little piece sells for like $9.99, $10. I mean, that's a very affordable way to try out the Jump Start on the Troy-Bilt.
Yeah, so you can use your existing portable drill and just buy a bit.
And buy the little bit. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So we've tried to make it as, you know, simple and easy, you know, to use. It is a engine starter. So you can only use it on Troy-Bilt, so it won't work if you have a different branded piece of equipment at home. But certainly if you're in the market for something new and you're shopping, for string trimmers or edger or cultivator like that, the jumpstart option on Troy Belt is certainly something you'd want to consider.
I tell you, we had a demo in my neighborhood with my string trimmer and jumpstart the other day. A bunch of guys gathered around, and I'm like, you all just have to see this.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. They were all looking at it, and they were like, oh, man, it's like a drill.
Yeah. How did that work?
Yeah, they loved it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it is. It's one of those things that it's hard to explain, and then until you watch it or you see it, you realize, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. One of the great things that I loved about just clicking through the Troyville website was the Saturday Six.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Oh, absolutely. Troyville began forming relationships with garden bloggers about 5 years ago, probably. We recognized it as an up-and-coming way of communicating to people who were interested in the types of projects that, you know, we were interested in. So we started developing relationships with different garden bloggers. Elizabeth Licata was one of our first Saturday Six and one of our first garden bloggers that we worked with. She's in Buffalo, New York. So then about 3 years ago, we decided to kind of formally put a group together and really dive deep into gardening and the use of power equipment in gardening with these bloggers. And we established what we called the Saturday Six, saying, well, you know, a lot of people, they work during the week, so what's the day that people really garden the most? What day do they look forward to? And we thought, well, it's probably Saturday. So we kept the same six. They kind of had a two-year tenure. And then this year we have a new group of Saturday Six bloggers who are all wonderful and knowledgeable people. Oh, my gosh. We've got Helen Yost out of Raleigh, North Carolina. I'll probably miss saying somebody's name, so I hope they forgive me. Steve from the Rainforest Garden is another wonderful gardener, does a lot with containers. And these folks just really help us to kind of get our message out. They test the product. They give us their honest feedback. They write about it on their blog. Nobody holds back. Nobody ever has. And, you know, it's great. And we've, you know, had to work through some, you know, issues of, you know, well, this broke. Well, you know, we had a problem. So, you know, things were taken care of. And they, I think, appreciate the customer service and the caring that comes with the purchase of the product. But,
I'll tell you, it's a great way to share information. This whole group of bloggers that are out there, and you know, this radio show is really just a online blog where we just talk about the issues of the week, where, you know, in regards to roses and gardening, and it's just a great way to share stuff. So,
yeah.
I love the Saturday Six. I definitely want to encourage our listeners to go out to troybelt.com and click on the Saturday Six icon and check out those bloggers. And
they do. They post wonderful videos, too. Amy up in Minnesota did a great video on power washers and how easy it is to use, kind of a product that maybe women might be intimidated by, and she just shows you how simple it is. And Noelle in Arizona does wonderful, succulents and that type. We tried to make the Saturday Six reflective of the U.S. geographically, so not everybody was in the same gardening zone. I think that really makes it interesting for, you know, people to kind of compare to zone, on how things are growing.
A lot of good diversity there. I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the gardening tools that I was surprised to see gardening tools on the Troyville website. They're great pruners and loppers that you guys have.
They are. They're actually all they're German engineered. They're made from hardened steel. They feel wonderful in your hand. They're just designed so well. The pruners, especially for me, my hand is smaller, and we make a smaller bypass pruner, which is, you know, you don't have to squeeze so hard. And there's a lot of kind of ones in there that you don't think about that can be useful, like the weeding and planting knife. I was not familiar with that till I saw it, but that is really good for digging out dandelions because you can just dig right next to the root and take the whole thing out. So there is a number of pieces on there that are very handy to use.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the bypass pruners are excellent for rose gardeners because, you know, we want to make a good, clean cut. And, you know, some of the other pruners that aren't the bypass model, you know, can do damage to roses. So it was good to see a good selection of the bypass pruners out there. Wanted to ask you, you know, we're giving away this awesome gas trimmer and a jump start this week here on the show. And wanted to get you to tell our listeners a little bit about this wonderful trimmer.
The trimmer that you're giving away is the TB675. It's a straight shaft four-cycle trimmer. Again, the four-cycle, no mixing of oil and gas, so very easy and convenient. The straight shaft design, it's easy to get under, like, fencing. If you have, like, a split rail fence or something, it will get under there, under shrubs, easier than on a curved shaft. It features the click and trim line feed system, so you don't have to take the head apart to rewind the string when you know when it's time to replace. You just kind of feed the two ends in and kind of twist the head, and the string will automatically roll up. Again, that's a great feature and makes it so much easier than having to take things apart and put them back together. And then, of course, the jump start, and it's the cordless version, so it's the one that looks kind of like a large flashlight. So simple to start, has a carabiner clip. You can put it on your belt in case you're out further in the yard. You can actually take it with you, and hands-free.
Wow. Sounds great. And you know, we've been taking entries all week on our Facebook page at facebook.com/RoseChatRadio. And as of midnight last night, we took all those entries and assigned each one a number. And using random.org, we were able to come up with our winner. One other item I wanted to talk to you about, and it's sort of a running joke here on Rose Chat Radio.
Okay.
It's called the Rose-O-Matic. Our producer, Greg, you know.
I saw the video.
Oh, isn't it cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an awesome thing.
You can plant a lot fast with that thing.
You really can. I mean, when I think about, you know, I live in the south of Birmingham, Alabama, where it's clay and rock, and it's just awful to dig a hole here. And,
yeah.
You know, he just goes up there and sticks that thing in the ground, and it just goes, and he plants his rose. I just think that's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, I guess I would just encourage him to be sure he wears safety glasses and sturdy boots when he's using it. But otherwise, that is a great way to plan a lot in a little bit of time.
Yeah, that is so true. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for being with us today. And I want, before you go, want to announce the winner of our Troy Belt gas trimmer and starter. Teresa, do you have our winning name?
I sure do. Our winner is Susan Kinney. Congratulations, Susan. We'll be in touch so you can claim your prize.
Wow.
Well, congratulations, awesome. Susan.
Yeah.
That is a great prize. Barbara, it's so good to have you with us today, and thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to Felt for allowing us to have this great giveaway.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and I thank you as well.
You can find more about all the great products at Troy Belt at troybelt.com. You can like them on Facebook, and you can follow them on Twitter at Troy_Belt.
Now, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the weekly roundup of Rose shows being presented around the country. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Phil Paul with the American Rose Society. My family has been growing roses for some 50 years. My wife and I have grown roses across the United States for the last 25. There's nothing more breathtaking than a beautiful display of roses in full bloom.
No matter if you're an experienced rosarian or are just beginning your first rose garden, the American Rose Society is here to help. is a tremendous resource for making your rose garden the envy of your neighborhood. There's even a rose photography contest for members to showcase the best of the best. Each member will be published in the American Rose Magazine.
We invite you to become a part of one of America's oldest horticultural societies and the home of our national floral emblem.
For more information on becoming a member of the American Rose Society and on the Rose Photography Contest, visit ars.org.
Hey, it's time to mark your calendars. Here's a few of the rose shows that are coming up. We have several today, so pop in and see the beautiful blooms. The Mother Lode Rose Society in Jackson, California is having their show. The Grand Valley Rose Society in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The Delaware Area Rose Society in Delaware, Ohio. The Pacific Northwest District Rose Society in Seattle, Washington. The Spokane Rose Society in Spokane, Washington. And the Gateway Rose Society in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Then tomorrow, on June 23rd, the Rocky Mountain Rose Society in Denver, Colorado is having their show, and also the Connecticut Rose Society in Hartford, Connecticut. Then next Saturday, on June 29th, the Olympia Rose Society in Olympia, Washington, and the North Central District Rose Society in Green Bay, Wisconsin are having their shows. And you can check out a full listing of the shows around the U.S. at roseshow.com.
I want to thank our listeners for joining us today for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We'd love to hear your comments and feedback on today's show. Send us an email at grow@rosechat.info. You can find us on Twitter simply by following the Rose Chat hashtag, like Rose Chat Radio on Facebook, and be sure and check out our website, rosechatradio.com, for a full archive of all previous broadcasts and for info on sponsorship opportunities. Now, we believe that becoming a member of the American Rose Society is a decision you won't regret. Teresa and I have been members of the ARS for years, and we love and cherish the members there and the membership and the camaraderie that we all share as members of the American Rose Society. They've got an awesome new website, just updated. You can check it out at ars.org. Now, the national broadcast of Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio is brought to you by the support of Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing an all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure teas and alfalfa teas, available wholesale and retail at manuretea.com.
Well, it's been wonderful to be with you today, but until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.